Welcome back to Am I the Bowlcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that's ever been and will ever be, period, full stop, no explanations. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. With me, as always, my co-host, Michael Solani. Hi, Michael.
Hey, I just got a haircut today.
I can tell it looks nice.
I know you guys can't see it, but I hope you can hear it.
I can hear it. I can hear it very nice. It's very sweet. It's a good haircut. Can I guess? I'm going to guess that you shaved it right down the middle, and you've got, it's kind of like two big mohawks split down the middle.
Yes, and I only got one half of it dyed to a puce color. Now, puce. For all of the people who don't know what puce is, it's green.
It sounds like this.
It sounds like this.
And also joining us again is our other co-host, super genius, actual genius, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, Mike. Yes, the smarts are real. They are accredited and scientifically proven. Yes.
Hell yeah. Guys, I missed you last time. Last episode, we didn't have the whole crew. Thanks for, dealing with us on that one. I'm glad that you still liked the episode. A lot of people really enjoyed the Bevers episode. Before we get too deep in, I want to say, not the bolus for knowledge pool. You didn't know any better. That's what I'm going to go with. You didn't know it any better, and Knowledge Pool is a cool card, so not the bolus. And there we go. I'm just going to do a single vote there. And that's just to make sure, because people have been asking, well, there was no bolus verdict. So there you go. There's your bolus verdict. Before we get too deep in, Morgan, I wanted to ask, because it's been a little bit, how's your hunt for Odyssey Block foils going?
You know, I don't remember how long ago it was, but I mentioned to our gracious listeners that I had like $600 worth of card sphere credit available.
Uh-huh.
I unfortunately don't have any of my Odyssey wants on there just yet. I actually paused a few of them because I was going to be going on a
trip.
But they are ready in action. They should be good to go in the next like week or two. So
I've
got
what
the
cash. Your username is again.
So it's not by username, it's actually right. Hopefully that's going to be like a thing at some point, but you can find all of my wants. I'm still looking for like Assassin's Creed stuff. Mm-hmm. I want like a lot of weird stuff. Like if you have like weird old border foils, you can just send me a message and like I'll probably want to buy them from you. But yep. My profile is cardsphere.com/user/47828. I promise that's me. I'm a real person. It's not an AI-generated profile. And those are real wants, and that is real money in my wallet that I want to give to you.
I'm so invested in this Odyssey Block foil thing because I know at some point I'm going to get to see these in person, and I'm going to cry, I think.
I'm going
to
cry,
too. It is a block that's near and dear. Oh, yeah, 100%.
We'll
I love
together.
That block. So much happening. Oh, let's cry. Let's cry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm crying right now.
It's
still
about
in
that
pain.
Time.
I'm pushing through. I'm still not fully healed from the thing from 2 weeks ago.
Mike,
but
big girls don't cry.
Yeah, baby, they do. Every girl, every boy, every not boy or girl, they all cry, and that's okay. Everybody cry. That's
Mikey,
okay.
Mike, you're too Italian to not recognize it as a Four Seasons song.
That's what it is? I thought it was Fergie. Anyway,
it's both.
I do want to talk about one thing that came up this week, which is, first of all, don't forget to get your cards at Cardsphere. I forgot to mention that we have a referral link in the bio because they are still one of our sponsors. And I think it's because they really love Morgan using it to find all those foils that you're missing. So Cardsphere, get your cards here. Make sure to start trading with your wallet, which is your cards. I've put up a bunch of stuff and I got a Rotten Mouth Viper in the mail that I completely forgot I'd asked for.
That sounds
dangerous.
And when
it came in, I was like, oh, a friend. Yeah. Nice. I was like, oh, look, a friend sent me something that, oh, wait a second, Cardsphere came through and then I have to mark it as received. Anyway, moving on. This week, the Rules Committee, the Commander Rules Committee, has talked about this project a little bit more in depth. They haven't released any more notes about it, but Jim LePage put out a statement about them looking into kind of going over silver-bordered cards and talking about which would be okay if you were to be like, okay, let's do silver-bordered stuff legal in our playgroup. Nothing is fully legal, but in the spirit of Commander, sometimes you show up at an LGS and you're like, I have these like two cards. They're on the approved RC list, so like they gave it a thumbs up in case you were apprehensive, instead of like the blanket, no, you can't have any silver board or anything, which I think is kind of neat to inject some of the silliness in it. He mentioned that, of course, the Cheese Stands Alone and Baron Glory are like one-to-one comparisons, and there are some silly cards that are going to be a lot of fun, but also, you know, like some of them are going to be annoying, you know, so I'm curious to see what makes it on these lists. But I do like the openness of spirit. I like the idea that they're going to look at a card and be like, yes, the infernal spawn of evil can be your commander or whatever. Or like the big furry monster could be your commander. The both sides essentially a partner or something.
So if we're talking about like favorite silver bordered cards to make legal and commander, I want to just throw Frazzled Editor out there for many different reasons. For one, that is me. I am the Frazzled Editor. And secondly, classic. This is a card from Unhinged. So this is what is now considered also to be you. An old card, and also me. And it is a one red creature. It is a human bureaucrat. Mm-hmm. And the card text is protection from wordy. Something is wordy if it has four or more lines of rules text. So that's basically like a Time Spiral card. That's a Future Sight card, right? Like, this card was made to be legal in today's Magic. Because there are no longer vanilla creatures. Every card has at least four lines of text. I think that would just be the card to win games.
That's fun. I think that like the gacha mechanic is off the table, but I agree with them. I think that's something like,
look,
yeah, 100%.
I was raised
the gacha cards.
I was raised to have manners, Mike. That's why I interrupt people in the middle of them speaking. And if I'm not allowed to police other people about their manners, you know, I never got to go to hoity-toity dinner parties where I had to dress up in a tailcoat and, you know, have my pinky out while I'm drinking bourbon from a coffee mug. You know, I've never been able to do that in my life, and maybe I never will because of all the office business casual going around in the workplace these days. It's just like, I want to be able to express myself like how Morgan expressed herself by being an editor. I'd like to express my ideal fantasy of being a persnickety asshole. And when am I going to get to do that in Magic other than with these gacha cards? You don't get it. You don't get it. It's just so sad.
I don't want to be a gacha guy. I think here's the thing.
So Genshin Impact's off the table?
Entirely. I mean, I don't think they're part of the thing, but like the Myra's Marvels, for example, having a partner and from Infinity, they're already all acorned. But some of them are like cool. My buddy's got a Hardy of Myra's Marvels deck with Rayhan, the black green partner. And it's just a lot of fun to watch him like get excited about like a reprint that all of a sudden has three lines of text. You know what I mean? Like Emerald Medallion being printed in Modern Horizons 3 had three lines of flavor text. And he's like, perfect. That's exactly what I need. And I'm like, that's crazy that you're so excited about this. He's like, it's a nice little thing to be able to keep an eye out for. And so that's kind of excitement that I enjoy seeing in other players. And I think it's fun. I think it's silly. I think it's a good time. And I want to encourage that more. You know, folks, if you're out there brewing a silly deck, I want to hear about it. You know, I want to hear. Okay.
Wow. They're telling you immediately.
Someone's already here.
You guys are quick. You're all so fast. Okay, I guess we're going to have to go into it. Let's go ahead and answer this call. We'll be right back. Hello, caller. Who we got on the line?
Hey, this is Aaron DeFazio, and I got to ask you, Mike, am I the Bing Bong Bolus?
Are you going in hard immediately? Aaron DeFazio, the very same Aaron that I assumed was my cousin from your last name.
Look, I'm not going to rule anything out.
I know, it's hard to.
Yeah, we'll see where we are.
Very clearly.
We'll see where we are by the end of this.
Aaron David DeFazio, you sweet, sweet prince. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
It is a pleasure to be here to bare my soul.
Yeah, to bare your soul. Like, asking right away, am I the Bing Bong Bolus? As if we're as if that doesn't set the stage immediately for what we're about. Because, so we know each other because we're both in a Discord server together with your girlfriend, Rachel Weeks, a little name in the Magic community. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe she'll do all right. And we became pals in there because we're both the fans of a silly bit. And I remember the first game we played together, you had a Guillaume deck. And this is what I talk about whenever talking about the like setting your own goals. Is you set? We sat down. I was like, "This is the last ride for my Saheeli the Gifted deck. I want to assemble Tron." You were like, "This is my Guillaume Master Chef deck. I want to feed 10 creatures." And so we just went one for one. It's like, respect. This is it. This is it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody else in the pod, you know, listed a goal for themselves, but
I'm trying to win.
Yeah, this is my my other deck, and I want to beat you all with it. Like, okay, all right, loser. Don't have a little goal for yourself. I'm picturing Rachel saying, "This is my Lord Tressorhorn deck, and I just want to win with it." And I'm like, "Boo!"
I mean, that's part of the challenge. Is like, what's the worst card I can win with? Like, the joke that me and Rachel have now is like, good cards are for beginners.
Nice.
Good cards that's are for so beginners. Funny. You want to play with Voya? That's fine. But
yeah. Hey. I can't get mad at you for playing with easy mode. Yeah,
exactly. Look, people got busy days. They need to come in. They need to come and play in easy mode right now, you know? That's fine. That's I feel that way about video games. I play video games on easy mode.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I like to do is I download a fighting game that I've never played before, and I just get in the training mode for an hour, and I have fun with it and never touch it again. Talk about easy mode. I see what all the special moves are, and I go, that's neat. That's neat too. Ah, that's kind of a bummer. Well, next character, please. And then I find out some combos and I go, that'd be nice, but I don't think I can handle losing this hard with this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I do that in Magic. I kick the shit out of sorry.
Sorry, Ken. We got
sorry.
One.
Sorry, Ken. I kick the snot out of Sparky on Arena sometimes. Sparky gets the business end of my timeless Charbelcher decks.
Your timeless Charbelcher deck goes for Sparky pretty hard. You mean Sparky playing a turn 3 mana dork?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Pow, belch you. Yes!
Not even Sparky's safe, but Sparky doesn't know he's not safe. What a pickle. Now, AD, you build a lot of weird decks. You're such a little, you're stinker, you know, you're fun. Give us the bolus question. You started with, am I the Bing Bong Bolus? You know what you're doing.
Well, I think it started with this thing where my first overall commander deck was like built in a vacuum, and I wanted to get back into Magic, and I had stopped playing around Skullclamp, and you know, I'm getting back into it around first Eldraine, and I built this like way overkill Mizzix deck was my first
wait
deck.
Commander Mizzix, the yeah. Mizzix of his bags,
yeah,
the and one that reduces your spells for experience counters,
exactly. And so it's just yeah. like, because I'm just terrified I'll never win a game of Magic, and it turns out I won like every game of Commander with this stupid deck. And pretty soon I was noticing the emotional reaction I was getting the people around me.
Fair.
And
totally.
And so I thought, oh, I'll do something that's kind of jankier and fun. And you know, a couple decks go by, but the one that leaps to mind is the Reaper King, which I think is really where I became the Bing Bong Bolus.
Okay, hit me. What's the Reaper King all about with this one?
I think it just says it all about like what my like the sort of, you know, taste in Magic is, where it's like sort of like absolutely silly and, you know, at the end of the day, completely Bogarts a game of Commander. where I had this like silly combo where it was like, search your library for any number of minotaurs and put them into play, and then I'd put all the champion changelings into play, and I could do the little shell game. So I destroy every permanent. And I was like, ta-da! And everybody's like, that also sucked. And but now I'm not even dead. I just don't have any permanents.
So yeah. You were like, let's do ultimate jank silly stuff, but it still will wreck the board and ruin
exactly. Ruin like it just like, you know, just cosmically screws the game over it. And like in some ways it's worse than just it's born out of a place where I want something interesting to happen and, you know,
sure,
to all have us all have a good story about what happened tonight. But I have to admit that like very often it just completely hogs the amount of bandwidth that a game of Magic is capable of. And I can't say I've ever gotten quite out of it, but we have a very patient and, you know, loving friend group that allows me to express myself.
Yeah, I mean, you do pick some odd, like, so when I think of what commanders pique your interest, I'm always like, it feels like you're digging in the archives. You know what I mean? It feels like you're going through, like, hey, I found this Nemesis legend that nobody realizes is actually a legend. And we're like, wait, what? That thing's legendary? You're like, yeah, I built it. What's everybody think of this? And we're like, I don't know what the game plan is. And then you explain something, and I'm like, why are you doing this? And you're like, fun. This is how I have fun.
Exactly. Like, or even stuff that's not quite a legend, but it should be like Uncle Istvan from the Dark.
Right. Yeah. Uncle Istvan is a legend as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got how many Uncle Istvans could you possibly have?
He's a summon uncle. That's his creature type.
Is that truly his creature? It's summon uncle.
I am 90%.
No, it's got to be summon Istvan. I can't. I refuse. I am looking it up.
Here because, we go. And, okay, who gets there first?
You know, I got it. It's here. You know what's fun is when you type in uncle at the Scryfall. Uncle Istvan isn't the only one to come up. Uncle Istvan is summon Uncle Istvan, so it's not summon uncle, but it's funny. All damage to Istvan by creatures is reduced to zero, so prevent all damage that would be dealt to Uncle Istvan by creatures. It's a 1/3 for one black, and he's just an axe-wielding old man that kind of reminds me of the old guy from Home Alone.
Istvan is like... Are my changelings in my Reaper King pile, Uncle Istvan?
That's so silly.
Or are they two different creature types? Uncle Istvan, you could do Papa Istvan.
I do, because he's been errated to human, but I don't like that at all. I do like the idea of changelings being uncle. Like, you know, I think that's so funny.
Summon uncle.
It's like, yeah, hey, what do you got going on? Well, Uncle Morophon's about to come into play, so. Like, what?
So good. I think
I'm still stuck on the fact that three cards came up when I typed in uncle at the Scryfall. And it's surprising to think about it because Sun Cleanser, so S Uncle Answer, Sun Cleanser gets the uncle. And then Great Unclean One. You can't spell unclean without uncle.
Whoa. You're blowing my mind.
Whoa. Which also, speaking of pet cards, this is one of those cards that I think should be legendary. And I would build immediately if people were on board with it. Because then I'd be like, can I do this? And they'd be like, no. And I'd be like, fine, it's an Ayara deck. Do you like that more, you jerk? Like, do we like a Yara more or less? I guess. Anyway. So yeah, your style of building is a little silly. And I think coming from the place of you want to give the table a story and an experience that they'll remember is like, that's the fun place to come from. And obviously, I think we have to talk to the audience here because we've been in the Discord together. Like, you're not out there going to the LGSs packing these very silly decks for a game one. You know
what
I mean?
It's true. It's true. I mean, it depends on what it is. At the conventions, I've actually feel a little bit okay,
right,
like whipping out something a little bit silly, because those are like very invested players, and so maybe they're looking, they can appreciate like something a little fresh. You gotta like read the room a little bit.
The key word here, they can appreciate, right?
Yeah.
They're invested players at a con, which means it's likely not their first or last and only games.
Yeah.
Right? It could be their first or last game at the time, but it's not likely their only game at the con. And they are invested enough to appreciate. They will appreciate this silly interaction. They're the target audience for the idea that you're coming in with, which is to leave them with the story, to give them a thing that they can remember and think about and enjoy when they think about it.
Yeah, exactly. So like a good example of like the most successful version of this kind of deck is my Cody deck. I don't know. Have you seen my Cody deck?
I haven't seen the Cody deck.
Okay. So Cody is a book. It's a 1/3 construct. It has, you can't cast permanent spells. I mean,
excellent. Excellent.
I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. Immediately.
Stop you right there. Colorless. I can't play permanent spells.
That's so funny.
Can you imagine if it ended there? But
yeah, if it were a common legendary that they just threw in the set, like, hey, I don't know. This is a nightmare.
Yeah, you gotta play donate it or something. But like, this is like, at least for a long stretch of time, it was like the 5-color ad nauseum commander in CDH.
That's right. So, yeah, because it was, Cody doesn't just stop at you can't cast permanent spells.
Yeah, he has
instant
and sorcery cascade. He's a mana dork. He adds 5 mana of any color, and the next thing you cast, next instant and sorcery you cast has instant sorcery cascade, kind of.
Yeah.
So a lot of people saw this card, be like, haha, I can cast Living End, or any number of, you cascade
free,
into like
exactly
really sharp spells. But what I saw is I can make Radiate my commander.
Wow.
So the whole deck is like 6 mana single target spells that I cast, go with Cody, and try to hit Radiate and Radiate a 6 mana single target spell.
This has to be one of the dumbest decks you've told me about. How has it taken this long for me to even hear about this one in particular?
Because these are the decks that you only get one game a night with, you know what I mean? I'm like, all right. Settle down.
I guess this requires you to be left alone quite a bit before you can pull it off.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, I don't know what the f- he's doing over there.
Sorry, Nick.
But my favorite one I've been casting with Cody is, I think it's called Rebuild the City. Hold on.
Rebuild the City, the one from Aftermath.
Yeah, and so I Radiate the spell,
it's a
Jund, and I make
one that's three and a Jund, so 3 black, red, green sorcery. Choose target land, create 3 tokens that are copies of it, except they're 3/3 creatures in addition to their other types, and they have vigilance and menace.
So yeah, I did this.
Oh my god, you Radiate this?
Yeah, I made like 63 3/3s. And then I didn't have a way to give him a, so I just passed the turn.
I'm realizing not everybody might know what Radiate is, but Radiate is an instant for 3 red that stole my heart back in the days of Torment. I'm talking 2002, saw this card, was like, this looks crazy, had no idea what to do with it, but fell in love and bought a copy as soon as I got back into Magic. It sits in a box, unsleeved, because it's perfect the way it is. It says, choose target instant or sorcery spell that targets only a single permanent or player. For each other permanent or player that spell could target, put a copy of the spell onto the stack. Each copy targets a different one of those permanents and players. And so you're destroying every land and getting a copy of the land.
Make
with
it
Rebuild
3 copies
the city
of the land. I mean, I don't destroy the land, mercifully, but I do make 3 copies of every land in play, and they're all 3/3.
Oh, they don't destroy. Oh, thank God. Oh, wow. Okay, thank God. You make 3 tokens of target land. Oh, my God. That's so stupid. That's so stupid. How many do you lose to Legend Rule, like a Nykthos or something?
That's pretty good. I don't think I lost any in that game. I only got that combo off, like, twice. But it's funny. Now I have, like, the way I have to look for insects for my Grist deck, I have to look for any 6 mana single target instance of sorceries. Nope. All right. See you next time. You know what I mean?
That is... you know what? This is fun. Let me take a look at this. Equal to or greater than on Scryfalls, 6 mana value in any color. We're going full color. And we're going to look up the latest sets, which are, of course, well, what we mentioned earlier, Thunder Junction stuff. And we're looking at no creatures. So far, all creatures. Betrayal at the Vault. Not going to work for this one. It's a fight spell, or rather a bite spell. Curtain's Call, well, that's already out there.
There was a
Elemental
good one.
Eruption, who knows?
I think the newest was from Doctor Who. There was a pretty good one. That
Which
was
makes sense.
There was Dimir. I'm trying to find it.
Doctor Who Dimir?
I think so.
No, really? A Doctor Who card in Dimir. Well, now we got a... Oh, Great Intelligence's Plan.
Yeah.
That's... Draw 3 cards and then target opponent faces a villainous choice to discard 3 cards or you cast a spell from your hand without paying its mana cost.
All 3 pretty of you wild. Have to do this.
That's fun. That's pretty fun. And you've drawn 9 cards. Okay.
And then everybody's like, all right, kill him.
This is such a fun idea for a deck, but also it's like, I can see how it's a nightmare to play against when it goes off, because it's like, I want to see it go off. If I'm at this table, I want to see it do the thing. Because I remember, what was the deck that you put together where you were like, there's a couple of whammies in there? You're like,
I mean, there are whammies in this deck for that reason.
So you don't always hit something good?
Yeah, because like, it turns out it was like, will this work? And the answer is, yes, it'll work every time. So I had to like put in Kaboom in this deck in case. So okay. There's a different 5 mana spell to hit besides Radiate.
Yeah, so and it hurts you or something.
Yeah,
like, it's not good for you.
Yeah, and it adds some tension. Or with my new Marvo deck. I try to like
this is the one.
Yeah, I try to like not have like, there's a lot of ways to sort of guarantee the outcome of a clash, and so I think it's these things are more fun when the tension is actually on the stack with the ability, you know what I mean?
I agree. I think you can have a way more interesting time if it's not a sure thing. We're not playing command. Look, so I say we're not. Look, I got to be less general about this. I don't play Commander personally, and a lot of people that I enjoy playing with Commander aren't just sitting down being like, I need to win at all costs, and therefore my deck building is going to be super optimized. What I like is I like seeing, hey, you've got a great list, and yeah, it works great, but what's this card I've never seen before? Oh, it's a pet card from Visions that works very well in this deck? That's awesome. Or, hey, what's that deck you brought to us tonight? Oh, is this... This is what you've been working on, you freaking nut bar. This is what you're going with. This absolute show. Sorry, Ken, of a deck. I have to see it. I have to see. No. Don't put it away. I need to see this wild experiment. I need to see this happen. And I think that comes back to your idea, which is like you're hoping to leave people with an experience, right? You're like you're showing them like giving them a story to tell. Giving them something to appreciate one more time. That's what you said. Like the perfect. You're hoping to give something to the table that they'll appreciate. Now, obviously, we've brought it up before because we talked about it, which is, of course, you're not bringing this to deck one of, you know, LGS. Time to shake hands, make some new friends. Okay, this Cody deck is needs an explanation before we get started. You know?
Yeah, it's tricky, and you got to just like feel it out and just know who you're playing with. And, you know, I think after, you know, I think you sort of have to self-select for people who you think are out to enjoy the same sort of thing.
Right.
And then because like when you do it, it becomes this funny thing. And like, that's why I like him at conventions because It is a reward for having come to Chicago or something. You know what I mean? To like go see like
yeah, you're gonna
the
be
true
exposed to this
bazaar of Baghdad. You know what I mean? You are actually yeah. at the thing, seeing what I like to call exotic magic.
Exotic magic.
Yeah.
You won't find these wares just anywhere.
Exactly.
That's fun.
So, I mean, it's born out of this nice place, but I'd be like remiss to say that it like works all the time or sure. that, you know, sometimes in an effort to be like fun and entertaining, it can still just soak up a ton of bandwidth. Like, I have this
totally.
Parnes deck, which is from...
which I know, yeah.
Yeah, from...
New Capenna Commander.
Yeah, exactly.
The backup commander to Angelo the Painter.
Yeah. And so she allows other people the option of copying spells that you copy. So I love the idea of, like, finding ways to, like, copy very big, cumbersome sorceries and, like, making, like... All right, but like, you know, like I am the warp world guy. You know, like
yeah, and well, here's the thing. There are again, I have a warp world deck. It's my Grand Warlord Rada deck. Just make a bunch of tokens, warp world the deck into play. I don't know. Have some fun with it. She makes mana fast, then they're all creatures again, and then you know, you could take the win. It does take a while to resolve something like that, but it's the kind of it's the reason warp world exists, right? Like, this kind of big, flashy card that costs 8 mana, right? Warp World?
It's yeah, like, something
it's
like
super
that.
Expensive. It's not going to be in Commander precons. It's not going to be in, like, your sets where, like, you know, you're hoping to play Warp World. Like, it's not even a card for Limited in any sense or Constructed that you see it really. Like, it's a card that was created because of an experience like this where they were like, Can I just put this card in the set? And they're like, yeah, sure, we're short of red rare. Let's yeah, just
exactly.
put that in
I
here.
Mean, I would really love to talk to some, like, ancient. I was about to use the word. Yeah. Some ancient designer.
A designer of yore.
Some ancient guy like Mark Rosewater. He's so old. Yeah. but I would love to talk to them about, like, how those cards first entered the
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
Like, one of my favorite cards is Eureka, you know, which is, like, one of the yeah. forerunner cards like this. And that was like one of the first very expensive cards I ever like made sure I got my hands on.
Truly.
And I just love that this is like a design space. And I think, you know, it's up to Commander players to keep that card slot alive, because that's one that, totally. You know, the people who totally. Need to sell the packs and look at the margins, they really want that rare slot back. And we need to keep getting it from them, Mike, you and I. It's like,
yeah,
no.
I mean,
we need that.
If not even to play it, I just love knowing that it exists. And that's the kind of thing that shows up like in a binder. Like for me, I'm putting together this binder of all the cards I want for the 30th anniversary binder I got from when they did that promo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at all these cards and I'm like, yeah, you know what? The OG Praetors and the OG Theros gods, they all go in for me. I want that. But then I'm also like, you know what's really fun for me? Goblin Game. I want to put Goblin Game in this dumb thing. And Goblin Game is a terrible card. It's just not great. And it's arguably very unfun to resolve. But if you get the right people involved, you can have a story about it. And, you know, that's what makes me think about cards like that, where I'm like, this is such a silly thing. And I'm glad that somebody put the work into making this wording work in the rules so that we can do this thing where we kind of have to hold something behind our backs like children.
And it helps you take your, like, the whole point of this game is to escape for a minute, yeah. right? You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I think these things help you escape from the escape.
Big time.
Which, you yeah. know, as once you're like become a very invested player, like you must be to be Rachel Weeks's boyfriend. you know, like, You need an escape from the escape. I haven't told yeah. you. I guess you haven't seen the Weirdo Binder.
I haven't seen the Weirdo Binder.
I kind of want to run to the other room and grab it. Do you mind?
I do, because we're coming up on the end. But right. Definitely right after. I think we got to wrap this one up.
Oh.
But I want to look. I want the Weirdo Binder. I just.
All right. Well, when you come and visit, you'll see the.
I'll cradle the Weirdo Binder and put it to sleep, buddy. Yeah, I'll be right there.
The Weirdo Binder is where our foil goblin game lives, and it's kind of gorgeous. It is just a historical selection of the weirdest cards we can find. You know?
That's so fun.
And
Charbelcher belongs in there.
Oh, exactly.
Shout out to Timeless Charbelcher.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned before.
And it's just like, and so that's like kind of, and it's fun. It's like created a little side quest because, like, cards are their own little piece of media. You know, and yeah. They tell their own little story, and we needed a place where we can just marvel at them. And whenever we get a deck that puts a card from the Weirdo Binder onto the battlefield, it's such a dub. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, it's
and that's
huge.
The real
Again,
dub. Yeah.
Speaking to the early part of the conversation we're having. I'm sitting down. I want to assemble Tron for my last go around with Saheeli. I want to feed 10 creatures with Guillaume.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. The little ways that you could turn this into more of an experience rather than just like, I sat down, I played, I lost. Or like, I sat down, I played, I won. Or I sat down, I played, I did a good job, I almost won. That's fun. Some cool thing happened.
Yeah.
Straight up. Versus like, I sat down, Goblin Game was played. And we all took it very seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like what Rachel said on one of the episodes of the Command Zone. I think it was reviewing new cards from Murders at Karlov Manor Commander.
Mm-hmm.
Prisoner's Dilemma.
Oh, yeah, and like, that's
secretly
one of the...
Secretly choose.
One of the best... Yeah, I'm in. I'm in right away. Once I'm secretly choosing anything.
Secretly vote or secretly choose? Take it seriously. This is a game. It's so fun to like surrender to the game of it.
Yeah,
you know
can I just
mean?
Like put in one last little anecdote like
Please.
This? So like one of my
Please.
Newest commanders that like immediately it's where I put my Eureka, you know, and I needed a deck for this card.
I know which one you're talking about.
And it's Cured in the Shipwright from Lord of the Rings. And it has this secret voting thing on the card. When it attacks or enters the battlefield, you secretly vote for players and if you get a vote, you draw a card, and if you don't get any votes, you show and tell a permanent in a play. And when we were looking at this card, people were like, people were saying like, oh, well, people could just have a conversation before the vote happens, and they'll prevent you from putting stuff in there. You know what? That never happens. Everybody just goes with it. You know what I mean? And like... Don't talk
That's
yourself
great.
Out of a fun time, all right? You know, leave that for the rest of your life. And Magic, make sure you talk yourself into a fun time.
Be fun. That's it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a hard time talking about the bolus part of this in the bookends here because, like, for all intents and purposes, framing it as anything other, am I the bolus for wanting to bring an experience to the table that people can appreciate and love versus what it can also be, which is, am I the bolus for, like, asking a playgroup to play this fun deck that I promised and then all of a sudden it didn't do the thing and it kind of ruined the vibe a little bit and the whoopsie. The floor and ceiling of a deck like this, it's the biggest delta, I think, in terms of like how it could go. But I do think that it is time to head on over to speak to Morgan and Solani in the bookends. Before I go that way, Aaron, David DeFazio, can you please tell everybody where they can find you and what you want them to check out?
You can find my x.com magic related account at Summy Tummies. I'm out of a Moxfield list of the same name. If you are just so enthralled by my sense of magic humor that you would like to go see my short films from 10 years ago.
Nice.
You can go to AaronDavidDeFazio.com and watch most of them. I'm a filmmaker here in Los Angeles. I work on commercials. But once upon a time, I made some narrative short films, and maybe I will again soon.
Well, that's very fun. Make sure to
maybe
check
some long films, hopefully.
Long films would be pretty sweet.
That'd be
AaronDavidDeFazio.com. Summy Tummies on Twitter, which we're not going to stop that part. Summy Tummies on Twitter and Moxfield, probably also on Architect too. Do you got one of them?
Yeah,
probably,
that one's a little out of date. I probably should. There's probably some old archaic lists in there that are like,
that's what I find when I switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I switch between the sites. I'd be going back and forth between them. moving stuff around because I like the playtester on one, but I like the roundness of the other. I'm a big fan of purple, but I also like that I can click and drag stuff on Arkanek. So there's a lot to like between both of them, but definitely. So make sure to check out Aaron David, and we're going to talk to Solani and Morgan about whether or not AD is the bolus. Let's get it. Now that's what I'm talking about. AD DeFazio coming in with the conversation I've been dying to have. Getting silly, silly, silly. Am I the Bing Bong Bolus? Oh my God. Come on now. AD DeFazio at Summy Tummies. Get a load of his work. Make sure to follow him where he said to follow him at the end of the call. And wowee, what a fun time. Really enjoyed having a chat with my buddy AD. And such a nice surprise to get that call. Wow. Well, I think we should just get right into it. Morgan, before we get too deep, let's remind the audience what our scoring system is like. And just give them a little quick one. Give them a little bit of a, hey, this is what it is.
All right. So me and Solani are both getting one vote apiece. So that's 1-1. And then Carroza gets 3 votes. Which, again, totally fair, fun, and balanced system that we have to make sure that everybody gets to say their piece.
You see, guys, the joke is that because Mike has more than the total of our votes combined, our votes don't actually matter.
And that's why we have the discussion before my vote, so one of you can sway me anyway.
Really, we're just lobbyists. We're just Magic the Gathering lobbyists.
Yes, but this system is proven to work by science, so we're going to stick with it. That's all I'm thinking. So anyway, let's get into it. Let's have a chat about this. Morgan, how would you put it? What's AD asking? Is he the Bing Bong Bolus for what exactly?
Yeah, AD wants to know, am I the bolus for being too silly and taking up a lot of the table's bandwidth for shenanigans?
Let's go ahead and rephrase this one more time. Am I the Bing Bong Bolus? Excuse me.
This is like a different set of criteria, I think, rules. Maybe that we need. So it's just, it was a little weird, right? Like, I think this is like a separate category that, like, Bing Bong, Bing Bong Bolus, like the triple B is like a little bit, it's a little bit heavier. So we have some work to do.
That's why we have to pay big time attention.
If you get mentioned as the Bing Bong Bolus, you actually go to jail for 30 years. It's a felony in every United States state, as well as every United States of Mexico state. You guys have provinces up there, so nothing's illegal, right?
Yeah, nothing's illegal.
It's 10 years for each B, so.
All right, Morgan, what's AD really asking here? What do we got? Who is he, the Bing Bong Bolus for what?
Well, AD wants to know, am I the Bing Bong Bolus for being too silly and taking up a lot of the table's bandwidth for shenanigans?
Okay. Thank you. Am I the Bing Bong? Aaron David DeFazio wants to know, am I the Bing Bong Bolus for being too silly and bringing shenanigans to the table and taking up a lot of the table's bandwidth? Okay, this is an interesting one, because I got to say, I'm biased. Solani, where are you at? You go first. Tell me how you feel.
Listen, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Oh, boy.
As someone who routinely takes up the entire table's bandwidth for shenanigans, I cannot in good conscience rule against this man.
So what is the context in this context?
I cannot self-report here, because I'm doing terrible shit like Brudeclad Lissids, and no one knows what the fuck that is. I barely know that is. Sorry, Ken.
Sorry again. We're being loose with the fucks.
Man, Ken is going to be so peeved with this episode. I never do anything wrong. The context always has me in the right. Right,
context.
Mike?
Oof. Bringing that back up.
Of course. You know?
It is true that your entire series, How They Brew It, is built around bending the rules so severely that you have to question whether or not something works. And the reason it does is because you looked it up and you confirm it does.
I have like three judges on speed dial and they all hate me. I legitimately have a judge in my Discord that I use whenever I have a question about whether or not something will work. And I, you know, I stay up late at night, so I'll add judge like 3 a.m. It's okay. I'm not the bolus. And, you know, they'll come back and they're like, no, this doesn't work because you're an idiot. And then I go and cry in a corner for about five to 10 minutes.
You know, that's a bad judge if they're saying it's because you're an idiot and not because, like, layer 4 doesn't interact with it the way that you want it to. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that's not fair.
What are the layers, Mike?
Good question. Anyway, Morgan, we have a vote from Michael. What do you think about this whole deal?
I have, like, what I would like to say is a pretty scientifically accurate shenaniganery meter when it comes to Commander. I think that there's... So I think AD is probably, his heart's in the right place. So I'm just going to go and say that he's not the bolus, but especially since he's very self-aware that his playgroup has a lot of patience and lets him kind of do his thing. I would highly recommend if you are Michael Solani to ensure that you're around a safe group of people who are not going to take you out back and steal your cards and lunch money when you do shenaniganery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for it. If we're doing something crazy, do your shenaniganery, do the combo, but in the end, like, win the game, take someone out, do a thing. If you're just kind of, like, milling around, like, do a thing. Just keep playing cards. Do a thing. Knock somebody out. Lose some life. Go to combat. Do a thing. With
the
shenanigans.
What the hell is combat?
Do a combat if you would
you
like.
You have a Gabriel Angel fire deck. You don't know combat? Come on now.
It's that thing that I go to once, and then the game is over.
Exactly. The essential step to winning.
Blessed.
So not the bolus from both of you. I mentioned on, but so here's the thing about AD and his decks. Every time AD talks about one of his decks, I'm like, oh boy, what's it going to be this time? And I get excited. I'm so pumped about it. The same way I get excited about a new How They Brew It. Every time, like, Michael, you put out an article and you've got a fun idea, and it's exciting for me as an enfranchised player to see what you've done with the game. With the same pieces everybody has access to on Scryfall, you're looking things up, you're trying to make something happen, and you're like, this should be able to bend this way, and you make it work. Much like AD saw Cody and said, I can have Radiate in my command zone, and that is so funny. That's very fun, but as a guardrail to keep it from being exactly the same deck every time, he put in a couple things that would trigger the cascade, or like that he would be able to hit. Instead of just Radiate, so that it's not all on rails like that. And I think that's so cool. I think him putting these safeguards in to ensure a good time is also very sweet. And I think that stuff like Hakim Loreweaver being a commander of his is very fun. It's very funny. The Reaper King thing is nuts because you're blowing up all permanents, and that can kind of suck because you have that on the loop. But chances are, Reaper King's a big boy. You probably have more people, like more little guys on the ground. You got no blockers to deal with, and chances are there won't be many left because you're destroying lands too. So the way I see it is that that's kind of like the big move to lead to either a concession win or, you know, an attrition win where you're kind of waiting it out. Personally, when it comes to playing Magic, if I could see a deck like that out in the wild, I'm excited by it. I think it's fun because I am an enfranchised player. Now, if I were not so enfranchised or invested in Magic, I probably would be like, well, this is complicated and nonsensical, and this doesn't really do what I'm hoping for. And for those games, he has other decks. He plays other decks. We talked about that in the chat.
It's called AD's Jund.
The person. Yes, you got Jund. AD's the person who put together the Guillaume MasterChef deck, where his goal is to feed 10 creatures. And if he does that, he wins to himself. And that was like a while back. We played like early pandemic time, early lockdowns and whatnot. And I just thought that's the way to look at Magic. And that's when I decided to kind of have little goals for myself to feel like I am winning, even when maybe I'm not technically in the game. And I think that spirit of like finding the fun or finding the brain tickle, that's what this is all about. And that's what I'm thinking is, like, you can't be the bolus for having a good time with the game. It's a game. It's beautiful. And he found the right people to be around. I mean, for God's sake, he's dating Rachel. Rachel Weeks. Can you be any more enfranchised than Rachel Weeks? And you know, that whole crew is like, yeah, we're the Discord that I'm in is dominated. We are nonstop talking about cards and builds and oh, this fun thing is happening and we're just so excited by it. I really think that in the right play group, this is the this is somebody that you're looking forward to hearing from and excited to see what they bring to the table. Oh, they're coming to Commander Night. Ooh, I wonder what's coming out of that deck box. I'm so pumped. That's how I felt when I was putting together Grixis Upkeeps. Before Obeka was spoiled and I had Ninth Doctor and Clara Oswald, I was like, this is going to be a weird little deck. And when I put together my Gen deck where Three Dog and Ariette are the secret commanders, like the secret partners, where it's like an Auras deck and I've never built one before, that's exciting for me too. And I put it together thinking these two things do a thing that, you know, they wouldn't be able to do in each other's deck because they're not in the right colors. It's exciting to brew stuff like that and hope to present it to a table. And that's why I'm excited when AD shows up to a table. And that's why you can't be the Bing Bong Bolas because you're busy being a Bing Bong Good Time, buddy. Not the Bolas. True Ugin status from the vote. Big time. Shout out AD DeFazio. Summy Tummies, baby. Get at it online. Pretty easy vote, I think, for us. We didn't really prepare a topic to chat about after this, but I do think, what's a commander that feels so silly that you're like on the brink of making every time, but then you're like, no, I can't. I can't do that. That's too silly.
It's unfortunate that the answer for me is actually Hakeem Loreweaver.
Really?
Yeah, I've tried forever. So I don't think you ever actually say what it does. Do you?
No. No, we don't, but go ahead.
So it's like...
it's an interesting one.
Yes, let me look it up really quickly.
I have it in front of me if you want me to read it.
Do you genuinely... hold it to the camera.
Yep. No, I have it on Scryfall.
Oh, well, I have it here
Hakeem,
now, too.
Hakeem Loreweaver is a 2/4 legendary human wizard for 3 blue-blue with flying. He's got blue-blue, put target creature enchantment card from your graveyard on Hakeem. So return target aura card from your graveyard to the battlefield attached to Hakeem the Loreweaver. Activate only during your upkeep and only if Hakeem isn't enchanted. And then he's got blue-blue tap, destroy all enchantments on Hakeem. It's a pretty weird card. Weird card.
It's an aura reanimator commander. Mm-hmm. So the idea is you discard a bunch of gigantic auras and then you put them back on Hakeem by paying... blue, and you can activate that in response to itself during your upkeep, so you can actually get more than one. You just have to do it all at once, and then you could swing in with your Eldrazi conscription or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just make it gigantic and then kill someone. And I've always wanted to try that, but the problem is that it's extremely difficult to do in an interesting way. Get Treachery, which is like a 5-mana enchantment that untaps 5 lands when it enters. It's also very expensive, but that's one of the things you could do with it. You can put other things on it to make it more powerful or more resilient, but honestly, I've tried again and again to get it, and I'm just waiting for the perfect weird auras to be printed for it to actually make sense for me.
Absolutely. Because blue isn't really colors for auras that I can think of. I'll say for myself, Morgan, do you have one for this? Do you want to talk about one for you?
If we're just talking about pure unadulterated silliness and goofage,
yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Why not just make a Norrin the Wary deck? Why not just make
classic.
It silly? Because I mean,
Norrin the Wary.
It's hilarious, ooh. Right? Like old
I'll
school.
Read it out for our listeners who yeah. don't know. Norrin the Wary for 1 red mana. It's a 2/1 legendary creature, human warrior. When a player casts a spell or a creature attacks, exile Norrin the Wary. Return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. And it's just this cowardly man. He's just such a coward.
He has a bad feeling about this, so.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Norrin's great.
He doesn't do anything when an ability is activated, though. You know, you ever watch a show and, like, someone's powering up, like, a huge thing, and they're, like, casting a spell, or they're, like, loading their gun and something, and it's just, they're just wide out in the open, they're just doing something, and you're like, shoot him while he does this.
Yeah,
why don't you ever shoot him?
He's running away.
Shoot him while he's doing this, you know?
No, he's gonna run away. I'm gonna run away, too, to be fair.
If somebody casts a spell, he's leaving.
Yeah, so, same.
Anyway, I like Norrin the Wary quite a bit. Very fun card. I'll tell you one that's on my list that I quite like. And I keep looking at it like maybe soon, maybe someday soon. I don't know why I'm so enamored by it, but speaking of, you know, silver bordered or uncards at the beginning of the episode, DK, Finder of the Lost, one and a Dimir, so one blue black for a 1/4 legendary creature zombie employee. When DK enters the battlefield, open an attraction. Whenever you roll a 2, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain a life. Whenever you roll a 4, you may tap or untap target artifact or creature. Whenever you roll a 6, return a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. And I love this. I don't know. Here's the thing. DK is so much fun. And then I'm also looking at Myra the Magnificent, because Myra's an Izzet commander that also cares about attractions. Myra the Magnificent, 2 blue-red for a 2/4 human performer. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery from your hand, open an attraction, and then X, tap, exile target instant or sorcery card with mana value X from your graveyard. Choose an attraction you control that doesn't have a midway counter on it. Put a midway counter on it, and when you visit that attraction, copy the exiled card. You may cast the copy without paying its mana cost. Attractions are so interesting and fun to me, and if there was a way to partner DK and Myra, I would. I would do it in a heartbeat. But right now, I keep looking at DK like, this is a little weirdo, huh? This little Dimir little guy. What a ding-dong.
And this is why I'd be playing so Frazzled Editor, because it just would not work.
You're attracted to the attractions.
You're both trying to get jokes out at the exact same time. You realize that, right? You know that you both
stepped on each other's
jokes twice. Solani.
Damn it. All right, fine, Morgan,
you go. That was so immediate. That was the most immediate bolus of all time.
That's because he asked about it.
For Silver Border, you talk about Frazzled Editor, I'm just untouchable. Like, if it was legendary, it would be my commander, and I would just win every game.
You'd have to get non-wordy versions of cards. The problem with wordy is that there's some cards that only have, like, a couple lines of text, but then flavor text gets involved, and you're like,
yeah,
no. Anyway, I think that'll do it for us this week. That's going to do it for us here at the Bowlcast. Everybody, tell everybody where you can find you. Morgan, where do you want people checking you out?
I am on the site, still known as Twitter, at Indigo Gentleman.
Perfect. And what's your CardSphere URL if you have that pulled up? Again, if you have Odyssey Block foils, Morgan's looking for them. I don't know. Do you have a think tank? Because I have a foil one that I'm just hoping to send your way.
I don't know. It's been so long since I've gone through the checklist. But I mean, regardless, you can...
We'll talk about it later then.
Anybody can DM me on Twitter or whatever if you have some old Odyssey foils or old foils from like Mercadian Masks, Torment, on all of it. I want it all. I'm on cardsphere.com/user/47828. And what's our referral code?
Oh, our referral code is actually a link in the description of this podcast. So check it out. Follow that link. Sign up for CardSphere and get into it, baby. Michael Solani, where can people check you out?
All of my stuff's at gamesfreaksa.info. Those are the letters S and A, not the word SA, the letters.
Not the word, but the letters. The letters SA.
Dot info.
Get into it. Dot info. Make sure to follow Michael on all the socials. Get into the Discord. And make sure to follow us at Am I the Bowlcast on Twitter. Follow me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. In about 2 weeks, you can catch us live at Commander Sealed. We're doing a live Bowlcast Sunday at Commander Sealed. That puts us at, I believe, Sunday, September 15th at noon. In the Treaty Room. So if you're coming to Commander Sealed, you're not going to want to miss Am I the Bowlcast Live. And I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy on the 13th, raising funds for the Trevor Project. And, why am I blanking on Trans Lifeline? So make sure if you're at Commander Sealed, come through. Come check out the comedy show. Come check out the live Bowlcast. We'd love to see you, and I can't wait to hang out. Can't wait to jam some games. If you've heard about a deck that you want me to bring to Commander Sealed, I'm not opposed to packing based on what people want to see. So just hit me up, Am I the Bowlcast, at Am I the Bowlcast, and thank you so much for listening. We're going to get out of here. Have a good night. Take care, everybody. It's nighttime, no matter when you're listening to it. Okie dokie. Bye-bye.